Our New Testament reading comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother and sister in need, yet refuses help? Little children, let us love not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and we will reassure our hearts before him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we obey his commandments, and we do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. All who obey his commandments abide in him, and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit that he has given us. This is the word of our Lord. As you all are well aware, I had the past couple of weeks off, and I spent some of that time in the Dominican Republic, which was absolutely beautiful. It was white beaches, turquoise water, 86 and sunny. Most importantly, there was no snow. During my time in the DR, I stayed at a resort which was also very beautiful, and it had anything and everything you could possibly need. There was 5 restaurants, there were volleyball courts, tennis courts, a theater, shopping stores. There was even a 24-hour emergency clinic. So there was absolutely no reason that a person would need to leave the resort unless they wanted to. So for majority of my time, I stayed within the confines of the resort, except for a couple days when I took some day excursions with a tour guide. And once I did leave the confines of the resort, I very quickly saw the contrast of living on the outside. After you exit the gates of the resort, you see a poverty level that isn't quite as bad as their neighbors on the other side of the island in Haiti, but yet still doesn't even come close to comparing to the resort living, or even our standards of living in the United States. Throughout the countryside of the DR, you see small and very basic housing that is made out of tin. And there are multi-membered families that reside in this small space. And when you walk by, when you're passing it by, it leaves you wondering if they have running water or if they even have electricity. As you travel down the dirt roads, you see the modest modes of transportation. You see people on mopeds, and usually people are piled up 2 and 3. On those mopeds. And in the Dominican Republic, there are acres and acres of sugarcane. And so you see the men out in the fields harvesting the sugarcane by hand. They're out in the blazing heat all day, chopping the sugarcane down with a machete. There are no machines. It is just oxen that are pulling these wagons as the men cut down the sugarcane and throw it into the buggy. The contrast of living from within the walls of the resort, juxtaposed with the everyday realities of the locals of the Dominican Republic, was a bit much to take in, especially when you would see the grounds and maintenance workers of the resort working 14-hour days, or when you would see the cleaning staff still pushing their buggy around at 10 o'clock at night. It makes you wonder why we don't live in a world that has a little bit more of a balance. Why we can't live in a world where there isn't such a contrast or a divide in people's socioeconomic status. It makes you wonder why we don't live in a world where there actually is equality for all men and women and an equal distribution of goods. As I pondered those thoughts, I found myself in conversation with one of the flight attendants on the plane ride back to the United States. And we were discussing the poverty level in the Dominican Republic, the inequality that not only exists there, but all throughout the world. We discussed how the most perfect and ideal world would consist of an equal distribution of goods. And during that conversation, she pointed out that this idea of this perfect and ideal world is far from reality. And who knows if we can even get to that point. And she said, the best thing that we can do is to travel to these kinds of places and to pump our tourist money into the local economies, and then to pray and hope that it trickles down to those who need it the most. What she was describing was the trickle-down theory, a theory which states that any sort of economic benefits provided to larger businesses or corporations, or any money that is appropriated through the government or by the government through taxation, would benefit poorer members of the society as it eventually or inevitably finally trickled down to them. Which in theory is a good theory. But I think the most that we can do with that concept is to just pray and hope that it actually does trickle down. Recently, I heard a French phrase, noblesse oblige, which is a concept that calls for individuals to take responsibility for helping those that are less fortunate, instead of that responsibility resting on corporations or the government. Noblesse oblige literally means the obligation of the noble. It implies that with power, prestige, and wealth comes responsibility. Therefore, it is a responsibility who have more to provide for those who have less. Since the concept of noblesse oblige places a responsibility to provide for those that are less fortunate on individuals instead of large businesses or corporations or the government, then it emphasizes a moral and ethical standard for the people of this world, and it is a call to action. In our passage reading from 1 John this morning, we encounter this same sort of call. Within our passage, there is a mandate to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters, and not just in speech or with words, but with action. Laying one's life down for one's brothers and sisters entails responding to those people who are in need throughout our world. Not dying for the people that are in need, but giving them what they need from our own personal and individual resources. This passage in 1 John is a call to look around us, to identify those that are less fortunate, and to take action. It is a mandate for the people who have resources and goods to open their hearts to the people throughout this world that are in need, and to stretch their hands out to them. A couple of weeks ago, Dan Price, who is the CEO of a Seattle-based company called Gravity Payments, he made national headlines. And he made national headlines because he decided to increase his employees' minimum salary to $70,000 a year. And for most of his employees, that meant a significant increase, in some cases doubling their salary. He also enforced that same amount, that $70,000 a year, to himself, which meant reducing his salary from $1 million to $70,000. And his reason for doing this was because of his concern with income equality. He said that he wanted his employees to not struggle or worry about the basic necessities of life. He wanted to create an environment where everyone had the same quality of life. And as the employees were interviewed about what they were going to do with their new increased salary, one of them responded and said that she could now purchase a home for her and her daughter, that it meant stability for her family. Another employee stated that his family could now take family vacations. The next stop was Disney World. And another younger employee stated that she could now move out of her mother's basement. In an article that I read just yesterday about Dan Price, he was again interviewed about his reasoning for enforcing this salary increase, and he stated that he wanted to create a better world for people around him, that he wanted to put people above profits. This is what it looks like to lay one's life down for your brothers and sisters, to set aside words or speech and to respond to people in need with action. We lay our lives down by giving what we can from our own personal and individual resources. Now, most of us are not Dan Price, and we cannot afford to dole out a large amount of money to 20 and 30 employees. But there are significant things that we can do in our everyday lives that can have an impact. For us, it may mean leaving a larger tip for those working in the service industry, at the resorts and the hotels that we stay at. It may mean offering to buy somebody's coffee or lunch. It may mean purchasing someone's groceries that is in line in front of us. We are called to be willing to sacrifice our own personal and individual resources to assist other people, to act in ways in which people will know that they are cared for and that they are valued, and not just simply with words or speech. As we continue to celebrate this Easter season, we remember and we celebrate Jesus's individual and personal sacrifice for each one of us. We celebrate the fact that Christ laid his life down for each one of us. Our passage from 1 John reminds us that Jesus' sacrifice was the ultimate embodiment of God's love for us. And since Jesus was willing to lay his life down for us, then we too should be willing to lay our lives down for our brothers and sisters. And our psalm reading this morning reminds us that it is God who walks with us through the shadowed valleys of our lives. Therefore, we are to walk through those dark valleys with our brothers and sisters as well. We may live in a world where poverty is the reality for most, where hard, backbreaking labor and long hours are required, and where equality just simply does not exist. But we can always work towards tipping those scales. Tipping those scales by laying our lives down for our brothers and sisters, doing what we can, where we can, as we can. And in those times when our efforts fall short, or when we feel as if our efforts are not making a grandiose impact, then thanks be to God that we have our faith to fall back on, a faith that reassures us that our Father is the shepherd of us all, that he tenderly cares for and provides for all of his flock equally. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.